definitely saw that. You could, the Hornets were very aggressive on the ball defense, even coming through like paint, cross screen stuff. They were bumping the guys and they were letting them play. So you did see him kind of, is it safe to say or right to say fall back or not? I'm not sure, but his lack of aggression kind of is showed, especially when we needed a couple of those. I think he took that. Is he right-handed? But he has a left-hand floater, which I see, right? But a couple of times he would shot it short in the paint, or he stopped before initiating contact, maybe playing off two. He'll go, I'm going to just shoot this little one-hander, or instead of getting to the body. And it was like, okay, that was a little more sign for me saying, you know what? And again, year one, right? Knowing this is where I need to grow at. I need to get more stronger. Like I said, the physical play is something I have to adapt to and get better at myself, but also I need to initiate more than just as far as them coming at me at all the time because of me running away from the contact. So I think, again, given what his skill set is, what we saw, the potential is there, but the biggest need for him is the strength and physicality of the game to him to go up another level. I think that'll be very highly important.
And to be honest with you, I mean, that might just be who he is. That might just be one of the weaknesses in his game is, you know, when it gets a little physical, he's not as efficient. He's not as aggressive or whatever. And that may be something that keeps him from being an NBA starter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he might always be this guy off the bench. I still like what I saw from him throughout most of Summer League. I think it fits really well with a guy like Domas. And then we talk about Isaac Jones and how maybe Max can go to the five and he'd be the stretch guy and Isaac is the guy around the basket. I just think he fits the way the game is played today.
Yeah.
And all throughout the entire Summer League.
I saw that early too, though. I was like, okay, I like it.
Yeah, from the jump, from that first Summer League game, it registered. Do you have, I don't know, grades or thoughts on some of these guys in this Summer League, some of the rookies? We've gone down, you know, the list a little bit, but, you know, give me a grade for some of these guys.
Well, Neek, I would say just overall, I'm going like potential as far as can he impact winning with the Kings this year. I'll give it a B for him, just as far as what ability-wise, what he brings to the floor, but also we talked about the scoring and also the perimeter defense. The young fella taught Max, like, am I going to overdo it yet? I'll say right now he may be like a C+, like almost a B, because, again, I want him to look like, but, again, it's if he can get to that level as far as the physicality, shooting three more confidently, and then also the aggressive on defense. Being that size, I'm like, man, please, you got to be able to contest shots. Like, we need that. We need somebody down there to change shots as far as that goes. Jones, for me, I'm like I said, I just want to see him play, man, and get opportunity to really evaluate against the NBA talent consistently to see if I'm right or wrong. Like, I mean, I think he could be impactful. And that injury guy, I mean, I said we're missing that. You know what I mean? I know sometimes we stop Monk. It was that scoring-wise, but he's going to do the other stuff, right? I'm going to rebound. I'm going to block shots. I'm going to run the lane hard. Like, that keeps in the game situation at that arena, that's what gets the crowd going. You know, so I think that as far as I go, and then still just Carter, man, just the question mark is he, I mean.
What's the grade you give Carter this summer?
Man, it's Summer League too, so like I said, it was an ugly game. I'm going to give him a C+.
Oh, you're nice.
It just, because again, given the fact that we need him to score a couple times, he did that for me. Those two games, okay, yesterday wasn't on, but hey, he took them shots. He made them before. He was trying to get us there, but I mean, that's just what it is. It's still kind of, you know. It's Summer League. Like I said, some of the possessions, I was just like, what are we doing? I'm walking, looking back and forth like, I just don't know what's going on. But then I'm glad we regrouped, came back that second half, third, fourth quarter. I said, okay, it's a little bit better basketball. What about you?
We'll start backwards. I'm going to give Devin Carter, I'm going to give him a C-.
Okay.
I came into Summer League saying there wasn't anything Devin Carter could do one way or the other to make me feel any differently about him as a basketball player. Not because he can't get better or anything else like that, but it's like Summer League, maybe he's playing out of position. They got a lot of try-hard guys out there. Could get, like you said, a little sloppy and stuff like that. You're not playing with a whole lot of other NBA talent. So I was saying at the time, even if he played bad, I don't want to hold that against him because there's a lot of circumstances to that. If he played really well, you're a second-year guy, you're a lottery pick. Like, yeah.
It's expected.
You should be handling business like that.
Okay.
He had an up-and-down summer league. And after seeing it all develop, like in real time, I do feel a little less confident about Devin Carter than I did going in.
So you feel less confident.
Less confident. Mm. You know, there were. I haven't been able to see him consistently get past people off the bounce. I haven't been able to see consistently what his shot go down. And then, like we talked about earlier, it just kind of showed that I don't think he's going to be a point guard. I'm a believer, and I don't know how you feel about it, but you know, you can teach certain nuances, and you can, you know, do some things as you go along to be a better point guard type player. Mm-hmm. But point guards are born, not made.
Yeah,
like it's in your blood if you're a PG or not, and I just don't know if that's in them like that.
Yeah, and. You know? I think that if we know basketball, if you coach or like watch it or you're a student of the game, you can see a point guard. Like you can see a point guard. You can you can tell he's a two trying to play point. He's a scorer trying to play point. But it's a huge difference on just point guard of what I guess he tried to roll, he tried to play in. It's not comfortable for him at all. It's not gonna, you know, it's not something that you can – even with repetition, it's like, nah. Because his ability still is I'm going to get down here, I'm going to try to score. I'm going to get in the paint or I'm going to shoot this three ball. Like it's not – I'm not going pick and roll and then trying to – right. Kick out the two, or it's not there. So,
yeah. I gave him a C minus.
Okay.
Isaac Jones. I give Isaac Jones a B minus. Thought he did really well, as the summer league went along. Neek Clifford, or no, he was first. We're going backwards. Maxime Raynaud.
Mm-hmm.
Just a solid B. He kind of waned as summer went along. Summer League went along, and I didn't want to see that. He started off really, really high, but he's a solid B. And I waffled between an A minus and a B plus for Neek Clifford. I'm going to give him an A minus, man. I'm going to give him an A minus.
Really?
The only reason why I waffled a little bit is because of the final two games. But going into those final two games, he was cooking. Looked at as one of the best players in all cooking. Of Summer League, best rookies in all of Summer League. So that means something. He gets A-. He gets A-.
So overall, for those four as a group, what would you give him?
It was successful for the summer league for what we wanted to see. I give him an A for those guys that we wanted to see what they could do. The rookies, the Isaac Jones, the Devin Carters. I give him an A. They went 5-0. They played good basketball. Well, 5-1 going into that championship game. They were 5-0. But I thought as a whole, they did pretty good, man. It was a good showing. It's summer league, so, you know, you don't want to go off the deep end. But as far as what you would want to see, I thought they all did a pretty good job, man, during the summer league. Was there anybody else that stuck out to you? Isaiah Crawford?
Crawford seems still small out there playing. Mason. I'm not sure what he was on.
Shout out Mace. Mace was hurt.
He's trying to get
Mace
it. Oh, really?
Yeah, he got hurt last Saturday, I think it was when that Bulls game, I think.
Oh, okay, okay.
So he's been playing through it for a little bit. He's trying to get a contract.
Yeah,
he wasn't taking no time off. He was trying to play through it. So Mace was hurt.
Question
for
you.
You just never really know what Mace is. Is he, you know, really going to get a shot in the NBA, or is he just a 4A type player?
Did you take a look or hear the timeouts of a couple of them at the end with the coach? Coming up with the speeches.
No.
I forgot one thing he said, man. It was just like, we're here now, guys. We're here. And I was like, yeah, they've been here. I'm like, for a couple of them, he didn't even say nothing in timeouts. They just showed the camera. He wasn't talking at all. And I was like, well, who's leading the troops, right? They're just coaching each other. It was just,
that's always interesting because with the NBA, you can only show certain things, right? Mm. So, like, if he cursing them out or he's talking about, like, I'm just using a name. If he like, yo, Knipple can't go left. Stay on his right or whatever. And, you know, and you know, that we got him exactly where we want him. Like, they're not going to play that on the broadcast. So he could have said all of that.
Okay.
And then after he said that, he's like, I got my message across, but I'm mic'd up. So let me just say something.
Got you.
That might have been what that is. Because you hear that, like, even in the NBA, like, Jesse, what was it? Maybe did... Yeah, I think he did say something on the mic'd up. Phil Jackson said something about the Celtics, right? Or Doc Rivers. He's like, yeah, they're going to fold. Like, I promise you they're going to fold. Do you remember?
Let me see if I can look it up, though.
He said something.
Played it on the actual air?
Yeah, on the mic'd up segment. Oh, wow. He was like, yeah, you know they're going to choke at this time. Or something. Oh, wow. It might not have been that drastic, but he said something to that nature. And that was the last time you got something like that, because that not everybody is for the year.
He said the Celtics. Well, he said they've lost more games in the fourth quarter than anybody in the NBA. They know how to lose in the fourth quarter. All right, so they're just showing us that right now. Shut up, Phil Jackson.
Okay, so I didn't know. I mean, thanks for the information, though. But why are you high? I mean, I guess. But this, why can't you play that on the air? I don't know. Just let me know.
Because coaches, don't, I mean, because the moments like this, like we. 12 years later, still talking about when Phil Jackson said that. Like, you live in infamy. And that was, like, kind of tame. You know, what if he was like, hey, man, we all know Knipple's soft. You know what I'm saying? Like, he can't play. Like, don't nobody want that on film. Don't nobody want that on tape.
But we know that's what they're saying.
Yeah, but I know. If on the league pass, I'd pay an extra $5
Patreon or something.
Yeah, for that.
You gotta pay at least $100. I feel like they say so content? Much worse than what we hear.
Oh, you know,
oh,
they
bro.
Do.
Yeah,
I know, want that. But do. I want the exclusive. I want the content like that. Like, I know you can't be nice to all these guys. Like, me, Coach Monk, sometimes or whoever. Just example. I gotta talk to you, bro. Like, but you're gonna add that. It's the real. I gotta tell you how I feel, because if not, like, but you know,
how much do you think behind the scenes Kings last season would have cost?
Oh, you would have got a platinum if you play
how
a high
how
price.
Much is, how much is that costing you?
Okay,
we're running by levels too. Yeah, not every team costs the same.
Okay,
so last the whole season or the first half?
We'll go first half.
That's what I'm saying, because that's when it was crazy.
Yeah,
I think
that winter time
here, it was kind of just people were like
that winter time.
Yeah, when Mike Brown was around. Ooh. Oh yeah, they damn near might have pulled a Robert Horry on Danny Ainge through the
Netflix. Rated MA by MA Netflix.
Oh, can you imagine reality TV for these NBA teams?
Oh my
god. Hey, see now that'd be fire though.
Hey, we're gonna talk about it in depth a little bit more tomorrow when Trist is here, but can you imagine if the NBA was streaming like
wild,
the WNBA players were?
Bro, oh my god, bro! I wasn't gonna say nothing about that.
WNBA is crazy,
like that, and they was wild, bro, on All Star Weekend.
That's crazy, but that's okay. Oh man, whatever, bro.
Look, hey,
that's
okay.
Crazy.
Look, we can talk about it a little
bit.
I want to. You got thoughts,
Megan Rapinoe? That's crazy.
You got thoughts. I really got to go back because it was in the middle of the like the reunion stuff, so I didn't really tap in. I want to go back and see some of the craziness.
I didn't watch all of it.
I saw some of the craziness. I don't even know. I don't feel comfortable calling them the name that they had. So I don't even know.
Oh, that was the title, right?
That was the title of their stream or their tag
crazy,
team.
Bro.
It was crazy. It was entertainment to me. If they're cool with it, like, I was cool with it. But it was, can you imagine if the NBA was rocking like that? We'll talk about it. We'll fill everybody in for what was going on. We'll talk about it a little bit more. I got Coach JT.
Yeah.
Coach, I want to run some. Oh man, there's a couple things I want to run by you, man. I'll talk about it. I want to figure out if I saw something over the weekend with the NFL that I wonder if they're just kind of wasting an opportunity here. I want to know what you think about it. We'll talk about it, man. It's ESPN 1320. It's D-Lo and KC. My man, Coach JT, rocking with me. Number one sports
in the building.
Station. Back here on D-Lo and KC, your boy KC rocking with you here. Coach JT pulling
what up
on me here. A little addition to KC and friends as well. And you guys are my friends too. El Grow Kid Talk Line, 916-909-1320. I want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. Talking about a number of different things. The Kings finishing up their summer league. Some of the grades for some of the guys that we saw during the summer league. So we're talking about that. There are two things that I want to talk about though. I want to make sure I get to them because I think you got some knowledge of one of them.
All right.
It's going to be shifting gears a little bit, though. It's going to be shifting gears just a little bit. So the first thing, we kind of got into it a little bit before we went to break about the streaming WNBA players during WNBA All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
And I apologize for not remembering their names. The one lady, she plays for the Lynx. She can go too. She can hoop. I think it's Courtney.
Is that the point guard?
Yeah.
She's tough.
Yeah, she can go. Courtney, I forgot her last name.
Yeah.
But she was one of them. And then the one with the pink hair, I'm not familiar where off the top of my head where she's at. But they
Courtney Williams.
Yeah, yeah. Courtney Williams. Yep. Yeah, she can go. But they were
Yeah, they was on
they
one.
Were wild, and they were streaming their whole experience for like WNBA All-Star Weekend, at least on that Friday, I think it was. I think they were just streaming, being out at the parties and doing
the
all
the questions, the interviews.
The Q&As were crazy. Mm-hmm. They are two homosexual women, so they were showing love. And I looked at it, Brittany Hicks is the other one. I looked at it as they knew these women to a certain degree. It was respectful. They had a certain rapport with them. They had a certain relationship with them. Mm-hmm. So they were able to talk to them a certain way. So they were kind of like hitting on them, you know, like spitting game at them, spitting game, like hugging them, all this other stuff, dancing with them, all this other stuff. I on the outside looking in and not going too deep into it because I haven't really researched it. They were having a good time with people that they knew. You know what I mean? That's how I looked at it. But we talked about before we went to the break, like getting like, oh yeah, man, let's get some behind the scenes. Can you, Jesse, JT, can you imagine if two NBA players were having that type of stream for NBA All-Star Weekend?
Nah, it'd be no hey, bar.
That would be wild. You think it would have been received differently?
For sure. But I don't even think they might have even gave the same energy because they know the eyes on of watch like the uppers are watching too. They would have to really walk a fine line. I think they probably
Adam Silver would have had a shutdown.
You know, okay, yeah, they would.
we know how it is. Yeah, hey,
he's like, we're not doing this.
You know what to do.
We're not doing this.
Because they was dancing with Angel Reese. They was hugging on Nafisha and I forgot they were talking to one. Courtney was talking to one of them on the runway. It was like, hey. You know, if it don't work out, you know, hey, I want to holler at you. Like, yo, I thought it was entertaining. I thought it was hilarious. I thought they did a great job. But I don't know. Maybe was there a different discourse around it? Like, were people upset with it? Like on?
No, not this weekend. No, it was all vibes. That's all.
Yeah, I don't think upset, but also I was watching a few other shows, just concerned about the content. Like, they were getting different content, but stuff that was being said. Could you and I have done the same thing? And it been looked upon okay. I don't, you know, I mean, it's not okay. Certain probably what you know. I don't know. I was kind of like up in the air with that. Can I ask this question though? I don't know if we can or not. Shit, but the t-shirts. What your thought was about the shirts?
What? Oh, I thought it was a sign of solidarity. Yeah, that for those who don't know, all the All-Stars during the All-Star game wore warm-up shirts that say pay us what we owe or something like that. Jesse, if you can find that for me real quick. But it was basically alluding to they're in a CBA negotiation with the WNBA right now, and they're like super far
apart. Pay us what you owe us.
Pay us what you owe us. And they're like super far apart. Like they... Like I said, Trista will be here tomorrow, and she can because she was at All Star Weekend, so she can break down a lot of this stuff. But they are not far away from a work stoppage after this year. Like I'm interested to see how that goes, and that would be disastrous for that league. Like that would be they have great momentum going on. They've got some real money starting to come in. Don't blow it trying to be cheap with these players and not pay them.
So So that your stand is. Don't be cheap. But again, doing research and just listening and watching and reading, the years prior to this year or to last year with Caitlin, the owners are in the red though. So
but a lot of that, like I said, I wanna look into this a little bit because I had talked about this a little bit more. A lot of that was based on the old TV deal that they have. So yes, you're in the red. Where a lot of these leagues make their money.
Of course.
And get in the black and all this other stuff is with the TV deal. That's why the TV deal is, what is it, like 11 years, $7 billion for the NBA? Like that's expansion and the TV deals, that's where they're going to get them in the black. And they haven't had the TV deal before this past year. Now, Caitlin has something to do with that, but I just think the league in general had a lot to do with this new TV deal. The negotiating and what was going on with the TV deal started before Caitlin even got there. It was like projecting this is where the league is going, and they started negotiating that TV deal before she even got here.
W real quick, WNBA players too only get 9% of the league's revenue.
And I think they're fighting for that, as far I know for sure. But also, as we know though, you got to put the eyes on the game in the sport, right?
Yeah.
Caitlin don't play 2-3 games. Nobody goes to the Fever games. Like she comes to California to play LA. If she don't play, they're not going to the game. So I guess my thing is business wise. How do you pay for something that's not creating the revenue stream that
But to a certain degree, it's already, the revenue stream has already been made. The new TV deal they have is done.
Mm-hmm.
They getting paid. It's not NBA level, but they about to be in the black. That's what I'm saying. Them being in the red was because they didn't have a TV deal.
Okay.
A lot of it was because they didn't have a TV deal.
Okay.
The TV deal was trash. They just signed a new TV deal. Off the backs of Caitlin, off the backs of Angel Reese, off the backs of Paige Beckers, right. Off the backs of the Aces and Asia Wilson and Liberty and all this other stuff. They just
that's got why that expansion is happening too. They got more.
All this is happening off the base of these ladies that are in the league right now. And to my understanding, the WNBA owners are still trying to pay them the same way. No. We didn't. And I believe. They're saying, we just, off our backs, we just got you this TV deal that's going to get you in the black. Don't try and give us the same 9%. Like, no, you just got in, you're about to get in the black off of us.
But you're saying it may come to a stoppage. Then what's the number? What do you think the number they may be asking for? Because the owner's like, well, y'all doing, we're going to give you an increase, but y'all going overboard. I mean, it has to be something. They're like, we're not cool with that.
I'm not less than the UFC fighters as far as
they're getting terrible compensation. Like it's bad, especially for, like I said, for the money that's coming in and the money is about to come in. We're at the beginning of a boom for women's professional sports in general, but specifically the WNBA.
Right.
Caitlin or no Caitlin. Like the TV deal was already happening. She helps for sure. But the TV deal was already happening. The TV deal was in place before that. You think Caitlin helps, Juju about to help.
Yeah.
You think Juju helps, Paige is about to help. Like the lead.
Special K about to help in a few
years. Special
K
is about to help. Special K is damn near Kyrie
she
out cold. Here.
Yeah, she tough.
So it's already happening. And they just signed a new TV deal.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be getting 9%. I don't know what they're asking for. I literally don't know that. I haven't read up on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't be 9%. I believe the NBA is 51-49 players.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I did hear that NBA saying, for sure.
I'm not saying it's got to be just like the
go
NBA.
9-50, but.
But it can't be 9. Like if you, I think off the top of my head, maybe fair compensation is we get up to in the 40s somewhere. Come on, 9% is crazy. And if they're saying like, all right, we're paying you. I'm just hypothesizing here. I do not know this is how it's gone down. But if they're saying, all right, we're going to up the percentage from 9% to 12%. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're making more money. So we're going to give you some money now. We're going to get you. We're going to make it 14%. Nah, hell nah.
Shout
out of your mind.
Shout out to Drew, though, man. I know they probably can't open up the books transparent all the way, but for me, I would at least do that. At least you have to show them numbers of, I guess, where they are, where they want to be, whatever, and then try to find a happy medium. But also, I think going from 9 to, I don't know, 40, to me, seems like a huge, basically, again, I know TV deals are there. I know you said that, but it's like, that's a lot. That's crazy. That's a lot, I think, based upon what their history of like rev income in before the TV deals, right? Because I think that's what's consideration. They're taking the pre-TV deal option as well. They're like, okay,
why is that factoring in?
It's been because as an owner, though, if you're owning a team, like I've been putting money into my product. I've been giving fun. Like I haven't made anything.
And you're making something with this TV
deal. As of right now, but I spent the last 10 years, whatever, not doing nothing.
But you're making something now. So now that you're making it, you're not even like it's already cashed out. Like you're making it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get up that a little bit if I was negotiating for the players, I would say, yeah, man, we starting at 40%. That's the low bar right there. 40%. Like we are professional league. We're doing our part. We're promoting the game. We're elevating the game with our play. And with what we do off the court as well. Like, yeah, pay us what you owe us. Like, we ain't got to take everything, but nine is an embarrassment. And if you try to say, try to say 15, like, are we going to up it to 15? That's equally embarrassing. Like, don't even, there's nothing to even talk about. So I think I would hope they would come to their senses and both sides will find a deal where they don't get a work stoppage. Because I feel like that's...
Especially not right now, the way the positive momentum is going as far as like on the court activities, the eyes on the sport, for sure. That would hinder it for sure. Mm-hmm. That's a major setback that they don't need right now, especially in a time where you're going to a new era. Like, you don't need that.
And they can't take a bad deal.
They got to make this one count.
This one got to work, because the CBA will probably be for 10 years or something like that.
Right. Oh, yeah. So you locked in, though.
Yeah. So you can't... It's important. You can't just take anything here. Like, this got to be the right deal for these women.
And they're thinking about the girls coming, young ladies after them too, right? Or 100%. So they got to take that in consideration for sure.
100%.
The money going to be different in 5 to 10 more years.
And Trista, like I said, I keep referencing it, but she's done such a great job with covering the WNBA. She's going to be on tomorrow. And I remember when, this was about 6 months ago, and she kind of broke down this narrative or this thought that the WNBA is losing money, because that's always what's reported. That's always what's
like
said.
Losses.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. they're in the red, just like you said. They're in mm-hmm. the red. They lost $50 million. There's nothing concrete that says that. Like, there is nothing. It's always, article says, sources say, they've lost $50 million. There's nothing concrete
statement put
about
out like,
that.
Okay.
And then when you start doing the math, Trista did it great. I don't want to do her disservice. She'll break it down again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost, it feels impossible.
To lose
money, or to lose that much money. You haven't even been putting money into this. You don't pay the players. You don't, like, it'd be one thing if you were, like, paying them a bunch of money. You're at these great facilities all the time. You were putting so much into mm-hmm. the league. Like, you're not even putting a whole lot into the league.
Right.
How are you losing that much money all the time? It didn't add up. I wish Trista was around.
Okay. Now,
but she'll be here tomorrow to kind of break it
sure.
up. But yeah, I thought the stream was great, though. I thought that was a great idea.
I will say definitely.
I thought that was great. Well, and to your point, if it was the NBA players doing it, it would not be received the same way. I get it. That's life, though, too, right? There are certain things that me and you can say or do that others can't. And that's life. They just got to deal with it.
True. I mean, hey, shout out to the W. They've been doing definitely dope, man. And, man, shout out to the league in the Bay, too, though, man. I think the women's PBA, man, might end up being a smaller version of the G League eventually. Like, yeah. Fatima, who's over there, man, she does a good job. It's some good talent over there.
Right.
Like, it's some couple ex-pro NBA players over there, some overseas women. I'm like, oh, this is growing. Mm-hmm. So I think hopefully that, because I know Fatima was in Indiana. She's always at the meeting. Shout out to her, man. But the game's covering out there for me, bro. It's like, okay, I don't see anybody else doing this. I don't see creating that lane for women to get at this level. It's growing. So, I mean, that's a super big thing. And the Valkyries support that. Women's League heavy, too. So
right.
hopefully we see, you know what I mean? It's dope to see, man, especially the involvement of it. Overall, though, man, like, this is it's dope, like I said. But I will give them props, though. They met the fans and the viewers where they at. Especially trying to draw in. Streaming is where the youth are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you want to bring them, put eyes on yourself, on your brand. And they did that by whatever, the best way they knew. And they killed it.
and to your point, what you talked about, and it was 100% authentic. It was 100% real. Mm-hmm. Like, they was out there. It was wilding.
Yeah.
But it was real. It was like, we out here. We having a good time.
Yeah.
I took it as it was all in fun. Like, they were all just having a good time with the people that they were with. And it was great content. It was great content.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to switch gears just a little bit while you're here.
Yeah.
Because you might have some knowledge of this situation. Did you see, and Jesse, I got to ask you the question as well. Did you see young Bryson Wright over the weekend?
I did not.
No.
Usually I'm tapped in. Usually we're on the same wavelength. I did not.
Bryson Wright I've thought about this, and I've thought about it, and I've thought about it. And I'm not definitive just yet because I want to show respect to other great football players.
This I did. I didn't know the name. I know exactly what you're talking about.
This might have been the greatest catch I've ever seen in my life.
No, yeah, legit.
It was what, like a inner squad scrimmage or something like that?
No, he's a 14-year-old monster. Right, he is a 14-year-old monster.
I haven't seen it.
Who played in this flag football tournament that the NFL
has. Big tournament.
Yeah. And he looks like literally.
Did he catch that corner route?
Just away from like how good the catch was. We may be seeing the next great.
And he's 14?
Yeah, right here, watch this.
He's a reclass.
This is the greatest catch I've ever seen in my life. One-handed, jumping over, over somebody, brings it down for the touchdown. This is the greatest catch I've ever seen.
So, I'm going to tell you this. I played.
That was in. Look at this other view.
But look how big.
At this.
He's too little, bro.
I don't care if nobody was there.
Poor number eight.
I don't care if nobody was there.
So, I'm not.
That was insane.
I mean this with all due respect.
You're not going to hate JT, are you?
Yeah, no, that's what he's saying.
But now, I'm going to base off experience. I played 8 years of flag football travel ball. I've seen guys make dope catches. Even females make dope catches in the flag football field. I played 8 years competitive comp, like Florida travel. I'm like, you see those catches like that over the top of people. I've seen my boy Deontay Durrell went to Grant High School.
Yeah.
Elite vertical. I've seen a one-handed just come down over two, three guys and then land on his feet and look at two, three grown men. Like, I've seen that. Like, so, I mean, Jacob Payne. Oh, yeah, I played 10 years.
That was the greatest catch I've ever seen him.
Yeah, nah, I've seen it was fire, though, but I've seen some, too.
Bryson Wright, though, 14.
But 14, he looked grown.
Bro, I think he's a legit 14. Like, ain't no holdbacks. Like, he 14. Check the birth certificate. He looks like the next great wide receiver.
It looked easy, though. It looked easy.
He's insane. I say all that to say.
JT said, not impressed.
Come on, man. I thought you were going to show me something. I'm like, what?
What are you talking about?
Come on, man. I've been on this. Hey, man, you can see that level, man. I'm playing 10 years of travel flag football. I was like, damn, these dudes are crazy raw.
So okay. This is exactly because I knew you played football.
Okay.
I knew you played flag football.
Yeah.
This is why I wanted to ask you. So flag football was on, youth flag football was on over the weekend on NFL Network. And I'm looking at this. And it was like, it was cool. You had this guy who owned the weekend, or one of the guys who owned the weekend. That catch was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And he got introduced. And my son, who's 12, was like, you don't know who Bryson Wright is? Like, step your game up, Dad. Like, what you talking about? Like, nah, I just got introduced to him. But NFL Network played the games. And I think they originally were like on ESPN. Yeah, because Mark Jones did one of the games. So they're on ESPN. NFL Network played the replays and stuff like that. I'm like, yo, this is an opportunity. NFL Network, this needs to be y'all back. This is what y'all need to do
on
the summer.
They need to cover flag football?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
This is what
you need
to be showing in the offseason.
Yeah.
And if you want to have this this tournament, you could do a league. You could do a tournament. You could do the, what are they, the OTC 7-on-7 joints, that overtime you're doing?
7-on-7?
Man, do a partnership with Overtime and show those joints. I'm tapped in.
Cam Newton's team, Cam Newton's his program is crazy. Have them, all them teams, because that whole in itself is like a movie, though. Bro, them things is crazy.
It is fire. I'm tapped in.
Flag football, EYBL basketball, flag football.
So look, that's what the NBA does. Now here's where my problem was. Here's where my problem lies. Is the NFL. Of course, the NFL got to do NFL things, bro. It's got to be the shield. It's got to do like the NFL. They took this whole thing. They have their own flag football tournament or something like that for the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And they did this little stupid thing where they got to give them the name of an NFL team.
Yeah, like so the NFL. Bryson, it's like Wright, the NFL something.
NFL Miami. Flag. You know, so they were – Bryson and them, they're actually from Jacksonville, so they were the Jaguars.
Right. The affiliation with the team.
They had a team later that was from San Diego, who were the
Chargers.
Niners.
Oh, really?
They didn't even do the chart. They were the Niners. And I was like, bro, this is dumb. Like, this is stupid. To your point with EYBL, the NBA puts those games on NBA TV. They don't turn the Paul George, the why not elite into the Lakers.
Right.
No, it's why not.
Represent
like you
that.
Watching them. Team Melo.
Yeah.
Team Melo's playing. Let these these teams in the NFL for football, for the flag football, let them be their teams.
Bro, like, that would be wild, just, though, bro.
It looked whack with them being the Chargers versus the Niners. Bro, it's not. Yeah. It's not what
represent
it is.
Your program, whatever it is. It. Like seeing Cam, that I know Cam would have it lit. Cam going to show up talking crazy, dressed wild. They're going to be turned up. And that'll give a lot of,
So I'm looking at that. I'm like, I watched some of it. I'll
be
tapped
in. It's a long 7-on-7 season, too, bro.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'd much rather watch that if you're NFL Network.
A little entertainment.
Chiefs Chargers from 2007.
Oh, all the throwback, all the vintage stuff.
I don't
stuff.
Care about I got that, you. Bro. I don't want to see that game. No, I'm not watching that. Put the OTC 7-on-7 on there. I'm watching. Kids recording all that.
The youth would definitely be on that movement.
Hell yeah.
They'd be tuning in for sure.
Hell yeah. I'm tapped in with that. Now, the evolution of that is I've been watching Summer League and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I wonder how the NFL could have a Summer League-like situation.
A Summer League what?
A Summer League-like situation.
The NFL.
And I don't know if they could do it, but here's the thing, and this is what I'm talking about. So NBA Summer League, you've got Cooper Flag playing. Mm-hmm. You've got Neek Clifford. You've got all these guys playing for however long they play, one or two games or whatever. Could the NFL do a Summer League-like situation?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Here's where you could. You could do 7-on-7. Now, that would eliminate the linemen. That would eliminate all these other guys. But they could play. Instead of rookie OTAs, why aren't we just doing a Summer League?
Because the guy cuts the wrong way on a route.
He cuts the wrong way when he's going one-on-one in rookie OTAs.
That's different, a lot more protected, I feel.
Like, Jesse, I was going to say the same thing, bro.
It's drills. Like, it's just a lot more just controlled and all that. Like, if you're playing competition and stuff, it's just I could see the complaints after that where it's like OTA is like, damn, that sucks. But if you're out there playing competitive ball, like 7-on-7, whatever it is, and the guy tears his knee up,
shoot,
your first round pick tears his knee up trying to run an out route or something, like that's going
to
be a problem.
So to both of you guys, that can't happen in Vegas?
But also, those dudes, I was going to say this, they signed contracts already. We got second-round NFL guys that ain't signed contracts till this weekend.
Not all these guys. Huh? Well, make sure before you start.
Well, some of them are.
Yeah, it's good business. Like, if you get drafted at probably the cutoff, you know, NFL-wise, would you guys say maybe third round is the equivalent of the first round in the NBA?
It'd be a lot more based upon who's your personnel, right? Say if I draft a couple of linemen, they're not going to go play in this thing. No. So you got to go find like your back.
The linemen aren't playing in 7-on-7 in general.
So you're,
like, think about 7-on-7. Yeah, yeah. They're not playing.
It's no,
so
yeah,
you don't have
non-contact
no linemen.
There.
You don't really have linebackers. It's really just quarterbacks, running backs, safeties.
Too much injury risk. I think it's
less beneficial, though, because, like, it's not like you're not running those plays, whatever, like, come training camp. I feel like OTAs, like, you're already handing guys playbooks, like, getting them ready for the season already. I feel like that kind of hinders it if you got them out there playing 7-on-7. I think, like, for the idea and, like, putting stuff on TV and stuff, like, I like making money, sure.
Sound
but,
good.
Yeah, I think like, yeah,
think
for the teams themselves, like, they wouldn't do that.
You think the NFL cares?
Yeah.
They can make money. They're going to give
these
guys.
If it was a money-making opportunity, you think they would be
we're going to give them an 18th game. We're not going to make them play 7-on-7. Yeah. We're going to make them play an 18th game.
Them owners would be pissed off, man. Oh, coach, I'm going to play 7-on-7 today. ESPN filming the game. All right, coach, I tore my Achilles. Over.
Okay, so Nico Harrison wouldn't be pissed off if that happened to Cooper Flag?
Yeah.
But they still have a summer league, right?
But the Shield ain't going for it.
I hear what you guys are saying, but they having one-on-ones in rookie OTA, rookie minicamp.
Like I said, that's just more control. That's within the team. I don't know. I just feel like it's more controlled that way.
I think they
missed it's easy to accept.
And like I said, I would have the quarterbacks, the running backs, wide receivers, defensive backs, and that's where it would be. Like, I don't think I'd have any.
Well, because like JT,
I don't think I'd have any linebackers out there. Definitely wouldn't have any linemen out there. It'd be 7-on-7 type deal.
Like JT's talking about now. Some of these second round players are getting guaranteed, fully guaranteed deals now.
Second round
picks for the NFL.
NFL. They're not going. They said we ain't practicing until we get a signed contract.
Yeah, they're getting their money now. Money. So
yeah,
like,
you got to sign him before rookie OTAs. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You can, or he doesn't play. Like, you don't have to play. But, like,
you're just trying to find ways to give the NFL some content or something that coverage until season starts, though. Again,
absolutely.
Right?
If you held, that's a little too close to training camp. It'd probably be in May is when you would have.
But when's the draft, though, too?
Like, the draft is usually in April.
What the NFL needs is a big three, but for the NFL version, like, so like flag football, but with Michael Vick and those guys. Like, get the recently we get, hey, Dalvin Cook, you can't play on the Dallas Cowboys practice squad anymore. You can play in our big three league for the NFL.
So, now really Jesse, I would say we know a lot of guys that are in the on the practice squads who are, they're getting paid.
Yeah.
Who, I think that opportunity for them might be something crazy. NFL blitz style football during, like, for the practice squad guys. Like,
have
hey.
It right there and run it on NFL Network. Mm. Like I said, even in the NBA, Cooper Flagg plays one game or whatever. So, Cam Ward, like, he ain't going to play the whole NFL summer league schedule.
Hell, no, he won't.
One or two games and then he out.
True.
And then you've got these other guys. You got the later picks that are playing. You've got the, and what was summer league? Like 13 days or 14 days?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Something
most.
Like that?
Yeah.
That's all you do. They play five games. You play 5 7-on-7 games.
They're not going for that. I don't even think so.
Well, first of all, they don't have a choice. If the owners look at it as money, you think if the owners figured out how to finagle and make the money off of it,
but I think the risk factor is too high for them as owners.
They don't care.
They care. Like, if they're one of their top picks, yeah, gets hurt. Like, I think so.
Then why are we having rookie OTAs?
Well, because you got to get players ready for the season. That's like, there's a purpose for that. Rookie OTAs is like to get the rookies just caught up. They're before the other guys, so you can, I guess, get them ahead of schedule or whatever. Just give them a better opportunity to catch up. That way, when the real guys are there, everyone's on the same page for training camp, for preseason, and the regular season. There's a real problem
with that. We'll see. Yes, I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm just saying, I think it's a good idea. Coach JT.
Appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you, my guy.
You
come
too,
on,
Jesse, man. Good seeing you.
Being a regular
man.
Out here, being family out here, man. I appreciate my guy, Coach JT. We've got James Hamm. He's going to pull up on us. We're going to talk some more Kings basketball coming up. ESPN 1320, dealing with KC.
Yes, sir.
ESPN. I already said that. ESPN 1320. Sacramento's number one sports station. Come on, man. Hey, Jesse, that was bizarre, bro. That's my dog. That's my dog,
Coach
JT. Coach
JT is a UCLA basketball fan and a USC football fan.
Come on, man. Come on. Like what would I look like if I said in basketball, I like the University of Michigan, but in football, I like Ohio State?
Yeah, no, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. Like, JT's leaving. He's walked out the building. I think as the fan committee, we got to revoke whatever it is that he has.
Do we make him choose to stay, because his whole thing was like, oh, I love UCLA basketball.
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't seem like he's going to change much, because he pretty much said, yeah, I don't care. This is what I do.
Well, that's...
So it's like, yeah, you do you then. But as far as our little thing, that means everything here.
Yeah, and to be honest, that's the right approach. Like,
and because Damian tried doing that to Leezy, and now Leezy's just every team.
Yeah, it set the precedent. Yeah. Yeah. Now Leezy out here talking about...
See, he does have Mason the family redacted. Connection. He does have the family connection, though, with USC. He did say his cousin played with Bush. So, like, that's different. Like, I was trying to figure out, though, were you a USC fan before that, or, like, when that happened?
It's, well, it happened. No, Ed O'Bannon was before.
Okay.
So, UCLA, this is 95. We're talking 10 years before Reggie Bush.
Yeah,
11, 12 years.
That's tough.
That is the most insane thing I've ever heard.
That's just an X by the committee. We give him an X. That's what it is. I don't know what it means, but we give him an X. What did we talk about last time that was like, they're okay? I don't remember. Have we gotten to one yet?
We did.
I know Leezy was the X.
Yeah.
JT, of course, is an X.
Yeah, that was crazy. I don't know. But we did give somebody a pass.
Yeah, I feel like we did. I don't remember who that was, though.
We did give somebody a pass. G. Brooklyn Foxy says, KC got nerve, the Knicks supporter. I'm sorry. First of all, I've established 100% clearly I am a Kings fan and I support the Knicks. Shout out to my cousins. Shout out to my cousin Ricky. Shout out to my cousin Herb. And shout out to all my Knicks fan cousins that I ran into over the weekend. You know, they said they was going to add me into the Knicks fan group chat. My cousin Kevin.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You can't be in the Knicks fan group chat. You're in the Knicks supporter group chat.
They're Knicks fans. They're Knicks fans.
So what are you doing
there? I told him I rock with the Knicks. I got love for him. He said, yo, no. We need you in the group chat. We need your expertise. I said, all right, cool.
What does rocking with someone mean?
I want to see them win, unless it's against the team. So in this case, the Kings are the team. I'll never root for the Knicks to beat the Kings at any point in time. It doesn't matter. Summer league, exhibition, regular season, NBA finals.
Yeah, I
never.
Don't know, bro. Like, Aldrin J, like, says group chat question mark. Yeah, you're a fan,
bro. Zabo, this, it's the
he's
family.
In Knicks group chats, and then a bunch of exclamation marks and question marks.
Bro,
like,
it's the family. Shout out Kevin. Shout out Ricky. Shout out Herb.
Drew down. Okay, that's wild. Like, look at
it. So what? I'm about to tell the family, don't put me in a group chat.
Yeah, text them right now and be like, don't put me in your group chat. Oh no, you know, hey, are you in it now?
No, I'm not in it yet.
So when they do put you in,
yeah,
leave it. Don't say anything. Just leave it. And it's like, oh, Kenny Caraway, whatever they have you say, just left the group chat. Don't even say anything. Just leave.
Well, see, and see, these are the OGs. I can't do that to the OGs.
No, you can. No, all you got to do is you got to go to the set. You got to go to the info, slide, remove. It's easy. It's easy. I promise. It's easy.
On. Hey, man, that's disrespectful. I can't do that.
Disrespectful. Like I said, it's disrespectful to actual Knicks fans who maybe aren't in their friends' group chat because there's just not enough room or whatever.
They need to get some better friends that will start a group chat with them. The family already said, yo, and they told me, they was like, yo, we got you. You're going to the Garden, all this other stuff.
Hey, yeah, you're one of us. Anything like that?
They didn't say you're one of us.
You paused right there. They said something like that. You know what they said. What did they say?
Be clear. I'm a Knicks supporter. I rock with the Knicks.
Jersey exchanges talked about? Oh, we're going to get you the John Starks jersey, something like that.
Well, I'll rock a John Starks jersey. I'm a Knicks supporter. Of course I will. But that doesn't mean I'd rock it before a J. Will 55. I'm not doing that.
I don't know. This is kind of fishy. Like, Dame's not here, so I try to be on your side during the week, and you're making it real tough, bro.
So yeah, I'm gonna be in the Knicks. Plus, you know, they was asking me about Mike Brown too, and I was like,
what did you tell him? Well, what did you tell him? Actually, what did you tell him? I know what I would have told him. What did you tell him?
Look, they was like, yeah, we got your guy Mike Brown, or whatever. I was like, I said, all right, yeah, man, you know, Mike Brown, he's a good coach. It was a little funny sometimes. It was a little funny. But he's a good coach.
It's hilarious sometimes. Real hilarious.
I did tell them, and I do believe this. I think he'll do well with OG and Mikal. Those are two type of Mike Brown type players.
Jalen Brunson and Kat, Mike Brown type players?
Doesn't feel like it.
If I'm being perfectly honest, it did rub me a little bit the wrong way when he's at the Knicks press conference. Like, oh, I know what it takes to win a championship.
Okay, yeah, see, it. I think I just left when that happened, so we didn't really talk about
it. And, oh, man. Like, you do, but as the assistant coach. I'm not even trying to talk trash or whatever.
It was
odd. If you look at his track record as a head coach, since LeBron, he has not had good stops.
So this, in all honesty, I think this is one of the hangups that Mike Brown potentially has.
It's gone pretty poorly since LeBron with him running the ship, if we're being real.
For sure. And I think this is one of the hangups that he has as a head coach with some of these players. And not just the Kings, Matt Barnes, all these other guys.
Like, yeah, Matt Barnes came on the show and was like, yeah, I don't know.
I think, and this is... I understand what he's saying, and this may be unfair to him. He speaks to these guys like he won the championship. Like he was the guy. He was Greg Popovich. He was Steve Kerr. And I think some of those guys in the locker room, when he starts saying stuff, they look at him the same way like, bro, what you – like, don't talk like that. Like, you can teach us, you can do all this other stuff, but don't talk like that. I'm not saying they're right or anything like that. I feel like that might be one of the hangups that happens with Mike Brown and his relationships with some of these players.
I don't want to say it.
No, go ahead.
Well,
no.
It's just like, what if a role player's coming up to you like, yeah, I want championships with so-and-so. Like, all right, Grant Williams, get out of my face. Like, no.
No, that's a great point. That is an excellent example of what's going on. And once again, I'm not here to say that they're like.
Shout out Grant Williams, by the way.
He needs to do better on the CBA. I know that much.
Yeah, he's one of the guys now.
Yeah, who got it?
Some guy, I don't know. Let me see.
Oh,
I'll look that up right now.
It's somebody we know and love, too. There's a new president of the NBAPA. But.
Jaren Jackson Jr., I believe, is the vice president.
Well, that's not who I was talking about when I said no and love.
Fred Van Vliet is the president right now.
Yeah, Fred Van Vliet. Yeah, we know and love.
All right, there's a bunch of vice presidents. Well, Grant Williams is the first vice president.
Somebody gets an email from me. It says vice president entertainment. I didn't change it. That was a shoot. That is what is on my email now. Vice president. But I do think that may be what happens in these situations. And it's not that he doesn't know what he's talking about.
It's someone else's system.
Yeah.
It's Steve Kerr's system.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like, if, is that what you're telling? Like, we're just running. Like I said, Mike Brown's a good coach and all that, but it's just like.
No, that stood out. That stood out when he said that at the press conference. And I like, we joke about Mike Brown. I like him. Like, I like the man. He was a really good guy here.
I'm sure he's the fun guy and all that.
I think he knows basketball and he knows coaching too. But I do feel after, like, I talked to people right after he got fired, and just you would hear different stories about, like, what went wrong, what was going on. And then with him saying what he said at that Knicks introductory press conference, it did kind of ring a bell that might be what happens. Is he talks like he's Pop and Steve Kerr.
Yeah, you think that has hurt him? Because I'm looking, like, since Cleveland, like, his Lakers job was the first job after that Cleveland one.
Mm-hmm.
41-25 his first season. After that, he's fired a week into the year. He only gets 5 games. He's 1-and-done in Cleveland, and then we know what happened here in Sacramento and how that ended and how people felt.
Yeah, I think it does hurt him. I think and the thing with Mike Brown, outside of the one Cleveland year that was just a bad team, like, nobody was going
to win. Yeah.
It's not because they're, like, bad. It seems to be people aren't feeling him. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, oh, man, they're coming off back-to-back 30-win seasons. It's time to move on from Mike Brown. No, they're fine. Like, maybe not championship, but they're fine.
He had that 1 year in Cleveland, and then LeBron showed up the year after that.
Damn. Sorry, Mike Brown. Sorry, but he can't be saying that stuff. Yeah, that's on him. That's what I'm talking about. He can't be talking as if he's the one that led teams to winning championships.
And I'm talking about a second stint when he went 33-49, and then, yeah, LeBron came back to Cleveland. Mike Brown, that was David Blatt's team after that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He can't be the one in the locker room talking about, now look, I know that you are my guys. I understand that. But if we're going to win a championship, you need to listen to me.
I tell you what, when we're talking like about Mike Brown, you do the impression, comes off as hate, man.
You need to listen to me. I know what it takes to get to that championship level. And when you talk about my guys, you have to talk about being able to get guys on the same page, specifically my guys. And making sure that they're all in unison.
That reminds me, we're going to have to hear from Jerry Jones at some point this week. You see, he was taking shots at Michael Parsons today?
No.
Hey, that old man has lost his damn mind. No, hey.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, I guess he was taking, like, because they're talking about contracts, he was taking some shots at Micah, whatever. I saw another tweet. It's like, yeah, Jerry Jones started talking, and then Stephen Jones took the mic after that and just kind of.
Oh, snap. Yeah,
someone go get Jerry. Someone go get their grandpa. He's just letting it fly at this point.
Oh, no, I got to tap into all this, man. I got to tap in. You know, I was actually, like, running around with a chicken with my head cut off today because we didn't get back till, like, 10:45 last night. I had to eat. I was tired. I was actually surprisingly tired. I thought I would be up because, you know, we're moving back to the West Coast. I was tired. Woke up this morning trying to get things together. I was like, dang, man. Like, I was behind the eight ball all day long. And then, yeah, I didn't get a chance to get caught up on none of this stuff, so I'm definitely tapping.
Real quick. Like I said, we'll talk about tomorrow. James is here. Owner Jerry Jones randomly takes a shot at Michael Parsons, saying even if they sign him, it doesn't mean they'll have him because he was hurt 6 games last year.
Oh, my gosh. Jerry, why?
Bro, he's crazy. He said they probably should have waited on signing Trevon Diggs because, like, he got hurt, so that situation was messed up.
Oh, okay.
Bro, he's losing it.
Oh, wait. Okay. No, okay. All right, bro. Hold on, man.